I would like you to take the Word of God, please, and turn with me in the New Testament book of 1 Corinthians. Have your Bible open to the 16th chapter of 1 Corinthians. We'll begin reading in just a moment with verse 5 in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. By God's grace, I plan to bring two messages from this chapter on this day. It's been my joy and privilege to preach the Word of God for 56 years. And I've given all of my adult life to doing it. I have no regrets about that. I just would like to give Him more. And for the last 37 years to be the pastor of this church, I appreciate the love and prayers of our dear people. They've put up with me, and I've enjoyed every one of them. We serve a great God. He's greater than all our need. We've launched out on some things for the Lord and for His glory, and He's never failed us. When Paul took pen in hand to write this letter, as a matter of fact, when we get to the near end of it, we'll talk more about that in the next message in the 16th chapter. Paul evidently reached for the pen himself and wrote the closing words we find in this 16th chapter. But the Bible says, beginning with verse 5, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, "Now I will come unto you when I shall pass through Macedonia. For I do pass through Macedonia, and it may be that I will abide, yea, and winter with you, that ye may bring me on my journey whithersoever I go. For I will not see you now by the way, but I trust to tarry a while with you, if the Lord permit. But I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost. For a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries." Now, I want to give you all the remaining part of this chapter, but I'm going to call your attention to the closing part of the 7th verse. If you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, I want you to mark this expression. Paul says what he's going to do, what he has in his mind to do, what he's determined by God's grace to do. And then he gives these words, "if the Lord permit." If the Lord permit. We plan, and many times God overrules our plans. We have the idea, this is what we are going to do. We've laid it all out. We even say things like, "this is what my children will do. This is what my wife and I will do. This is what the organizational structure I'm a part of is planning to do." And God overrules. We rule. It's like men and women to rule. We rule. And we find that times God overrules. If the Lord permit. If the Lord permit. This is an amazing passage of Scripture that deals with so many things. Let me read on just a bit and you follow, please. In verse 10, he says, "Now if Timotheus come, see that he may be with you without fear. For he worketh the work of the Lord as I also do. Paul said, Timothy is doing the same thing with his life I'm doing with my life. That's a great statement given to us in the Word of God and causes us to think there are many people who serve the Lord with us, alongside us, that are doing the same thing we're doing. The Bible says, he worketh the work of the Lord as I also do. Let no man therefore despise him. Remember, Paul wrote to Timothy, let no man despise thy youth, but conduct him forth in peace, that he may come unto me. For I look for him with the brethren. And then he writes in verse 12, as touching our brother Apollos, I greatly desired him to come unto you with the brethren. But his will was not at all to come at this time. But he will come when he shall have convenient time. Just hold your place there and turn back with me to the beginning of this book when Paul is writing about the divisions that the people are creating. And one of them is a division over Apollos. Chapter 3, verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye yet able. For ye are yet carnal. But whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? Now we come to the end of the chapter, and he's writing to the same people, and he's talking about, I really wanted Apollos to come. There's no division. There's nothing between us. There's nothing of Apollos dividing anything in the church after himself. I want him to come. But he made a decision. This wasn't the time. Then the Word of God says, he'll come when he has a convenient time. And verse 13, look at the admonition Paul gives them. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men, be strong. If you put those four admonitions together, he's commending this church in Corinth. And then bathe it all in love. Let all your things be done with charity. Think of that. Everything. That's what you want to find in a church. I've been here for so many years. That's a good place for you to say, not too many. And it hasn't been too many. And I've tried to say to you, let us be followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do what God wants us to do. Have no divisions among us. Some are not following after Paul, some after Apollos, some after someone else, but all after Christ. That's the way it ought to be. May God guide us and help us. If I live and the Lord doesn't come, if I have opportunity in the evening hour to bring the message I want to bring from this passage, especially to our graduates will be hearing. I want them to see the way a church should behave, the way Christian people should behave, and that we bathe everything in love, just as the Word of God says. That all our doings, all your things are being done with charity. And every one of us is to watch, to stand fast in the faith, to quit you like men, to brave up, to take the stand God wants us to take. If you're ever going to take a stand for the Lord, you're ever going to do anything for Jesus Christ, don't think I'm going to do it later. You must do it now. This is the time. This is the time. No doubt about it. And be strong. Be strong. You consider yourself strong in the Lord? May God guide us. May God show us. We're not a divided people. We're not a divided church. We are people who are here to serve the Lord, to do the Lord, to do the Lord's work. So, Paul writes to the people and he says, there's a great door open. And anytime there's a great door open, in verse 9 he says, there's a great door open, and he says, and effectual. In other words, you obey the Lord, do what God's given you to do. If you move forward by faith and trust God and move forward, God will meet you. That's the one thing we don't get hold of sometimes. That when we're serving the Lord, we have the Lord's promise that He's going to meet us. Trust Him, believe Him, lean on Him. There's no doubt about it. It is a great door and it is effectual. It's opened unto us. But the Bible says, and. Some people want to put the conjunction, but, a disjunctive conjunction, but it doesn't say but. Some people quote it like this, for a great door and effectual is open unto me, but there are many adversaries. No, and there are many adversaries. Every time God gives us opportunity, the door of opportunity always swings on the hinges of opposition. If you're going to bury yourself in the Lord's Word, get your head up and trust Jesus, you're going to face an unbelieving world. It is the world's work to oppose the work of God. And this nature that we have is adverse to the wonderful work of God. I came here so many, many years ago to be the pastor of this church and to ask God to do the amazing things that He's done in the life and ministry of this church. But if you have faith to believe God for these things, it will always be faced by opposition. There is no painless way to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing you ever do for God, nothing you ever plan to do for God, if it's truly for God, will be done without opposition. Always. And you will find internal opposition. You'll find opposition within your own heart. You'll have to do battle. But I'm going to give the attention to this expression in this message. I want you to look at it again. And the Word of God says, if the Lord permit. I've got these plans. If God let me do it, that's what I'm planning to do. When I came here, we were meeting in another building, another auditorium. I wish I could take all of you in that auditorium for just a moment and to the choir area and show you the poster board that I wrote on, the plans I had nearly 40 years ago, what I believe God wanted us to do, where God wanted us to go, what the Lord was leading us to do. It was a work of faith. But here, Paul is writing on the interference of God. Think about that. The interference of God. When you make your plans and God says, no, that's not it. When you point in direction and say, I'm bound and determined, this is what I'm going to do. But God says, no, that's not it. Not my will, not my time. And the Lord works. The great lesson that we have to learn, and it takes time to learn it, is that we're called to work with God, labor with God, to follow the Lord. God has a work in the world, and we're with Him, not against Him. And we must also learn He's not against us. When something goes wrong, you say, well, this is alarming to me. This is upsetting to me. I don't want to handle this. Because you get the idea that God's against you. But He's not against you. God is for His children. And the way He works, the wonderful way He works, to lead us through the open doors and to give us the strength to stand against the opposition, is only to prove Himself, how mighty, how great He is. We have a message. God gave it to us. Hold your place here and turn with me, please. The world has a different position. In the Gospel according to John, Jesus taught His disciples in the 16th chapter, beginning with verse 1, "These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended." And we get upset and offended over everything. And He says in verse 2, John chapter 16, "They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service." In other words, the world is in such opposition to the work of God. In such opposition to the work of God, they're going to get the idea if they kill you, they're doing everybody a favor. It's like my wife's granddaddy when I announced the call to be a preacher. I was just a boy, 18 years old, and I believe God wanted me to be a preacher. And He came to me and He buried His head on my chest, and He said, "I'm praying for you. I thank God for what you're going to do, but I'm praying that you'll be able to deal with the opposition that you'll face." And we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal things. And when we're tempted to use carnal things, things we can see, instead of prayer and believing God, and faith in the Lord, and the Spirit of God within us, when we refuse to use that, we just work on our human ingenuity. I have a big idea. This is the way I think it ought to be done. Well, many times, if not all times, that's an offense to God. What have you really heard? What are you really speaking? What has the Lord done for you? I want you to turn, please, to the Gospel of the book of Acts. And I have this verse marked in my Bible in Acts chapter 4. I want you to mark it. "For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." And the Bible says, "So when they had further threatened them, they let them go." The world stands in opposition to the work of God. So you want to do God's work. You want to make an impact for the Lord with your life. You say, I've given my life to God. When I was a 14-year-old boy, I asked God to forgive my sin, and by faith, I trusted the Lord Jesus as my Savior. But I never thought about the fact that I'm positioning myself against the devil and the flesh and the world. But that's what we're doing. And we have to get to the point where it's real to us. Nothing is real until it's personal. And it's real to us. We've trusted the Lord. We believe the Lord. Paul was writing to this church in Corinth and saying to them, I have my plans. This is what I intend to do. And as I intend to do it, if that becomes the biggest word in the human language, if, he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, if the Lord permit it. I am trying, by God's grace, to live in harmony with the Lord and live in His will. If the Lord permitted. Now we're going to come to what Paul answers here. But I want us to deal with this divine interference. Because most people have the idea, if you say, this is what I'm going to do for God, God just gets on board. But there's a struggle. And when the struggle comes, you're going to have to work through it to trust the Lord. It may be knocked down, you have to get up again. Knocked down, have to get up again. Knocked down, have to get up again. And God will give you grace. He's always greater, He that's in us, than anyone who is against us. Always. Always. We want to be people of influence. Sometimes we're influenced by the world's way. I want you to take the time to read with me the 55th chapter, a portion of it at least, of the book of Isaiah. I've prayed much about this. May God guide us and help us. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread? And you labor for that which satisfies not. Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good. Let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, verse 3, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and a commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that know not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord. Verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he's near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. Verse 8, are you there? For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. May I say to you right here, I'm going to finish this, but there is such a thing as conversion. We talk lightly about it and say, I got converted. I asked God to forgive my sin and by faith trusted the Lord as my Savior. There is such a thing as conversion, but it's conversion to God. To what God wants. To the way God wants it. And we come to the ninth verse of this 55th chapter. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. Look at verse 11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that. I want you to circle the little word or mark the word that, which I please. I thought of what I please. I'm going to get this done. I came here to be the pastor. I came here to do what I thought needed done. What did God want accomplished? People had to be converted. Christian people had ideas about what it ought to be. If you're going out to serve the Lord, you'll fight people. You'll contrast with people that have their idea to do it. But God says, so shall my word that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void. But it shall accomplish that which I please. Oh, may God bring all of us to that. May God bring every church to that. May God bring every one of His children to that which I please. And it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I set it. God has a will in the world, has a time that things are to be done. Paul said to the church in Corinth, it's my desire to get to doing what God wants done there. But it'll have to please the Lord. It has to be His will. God sometimes holds us back. He interferes because His timing is not what it ought to be. But it shall accomplish that which I please, the Lord says. And it shall prosper in that whereunto I sent it. For you shall go out in joy and be led forth with peace. And the mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing. And all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. I'm looking for God's that. And I want you to write this down, would you please? That is both a mystery and a certainty. A mystery and a certainty. It's what God wants and when God wants it. And when you want to go forcefully into something without really knowing the mind of God, waiting on God, God is apt to stop it. He's apt to intervene in your life and say, whoa. This is not the right time. I would like to take you into the private place of my heart and say to you, God put a dream, an idea in me. I said to the pulpit committee, kind, wonderful people, when they called me as the pastor so many years ago, I said to them, but God put in my heart to start a college. I want you to pray about it. And when you call me to be the pastor, we're going to have to go through the transformation to do what God wants us to do in a college. And the kind men who talked to me said, well, that's what we want. That's what we want. But being conformed to the will of God and doing what the Lord wants when the Lord wants it, accomplishing that thing that God's designed us to be, takes the Lord's timing. If the Lord will do it, we're trusting Him, believing Him. So we have to go back, talk about His Word, talk about His purpose on earth. What's God doing in the world? He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And before we can accomplish everything God wants us to do in His timing, people have to get on board with that. I don't want this to be a mystery to me or to any of you. It's just the way it has to be. God has a time. Because we all know this. I'm reading. For a great door, an effectual, is opened unto us. And there are many adversaries. I wrote a little note in my Bible of all the sad words of tongue and pen. The saddest are these. It might have been John Greenleaf Whittier. By the way, I have a distant relationship to John Greenleaf Whittier. Of all the sad words of tongue and pen, the saddest it might have been, you and I are going to always be standing thinking, listen, what we could have done, what might have been, what God had intended is best, when God intended it is best. And then when it passes, it doesn't become a reality. Who do we blame? Who do we blame? God has a purpose. He wants you to know His Son, the Lord Jesus. He wants you to live the full life you can live as a Christian. He doesn't want you to look back on your life and think, I could have. I could have. I could have. No, no. He wants you to look back and say, I invested my life. I did in God's time what God wanted me to do. God opened such a door, an effectual. If we, by faith, knock on that door, God Himself will open it. Such a door, an effectual. was opened unto us. The story of the Temple Baptist Church and Crown College will be written someday. And I wanted to say, it was all God intended for it to be. We followed Him by faith. We went through the open door. We dealt with the adversaries. And we did what God gave us to do.